ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायण नमस्कृत्य
नारायण नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव Chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter entitled Rishabhdev's Appearance in the Womb of Veeru Devi, the Life of King Nami. Kovahinate aparitat parajito aparajitaya
ते परजितो परजिताय
Your illusory energy is unconquerable.
No one can see the path of this material energy or tell how it is working. Please repeat. Dear Lord,
dear Lord,
unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees,
unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees,
one will be conquered by the illusory energy.
One will be conquered by the illusory energy.
And his intelligence will be bewildered.
And his intelligence will be bewildered.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Who has not been carried away by the waves of material enjoyment?
Who has not been carried away by the waves of material enjoyment?
Which are like poison.
Which are like poison.
Your illusory energy is unconquerable.
Your illusory energy is unconquerable.
No one can see the path of this material energy.
No one can see the path of this material energy.
Or tell how it is working. Maharaj Navi was inclined to perform great sacrifices for begetting a son. The son might be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but such a material desire, be it great or insignificant, is brought about by the influence of Maya. A devotee does not at all desire anything for sense gratification. Devotion is therefore explained as devoid of material desires. Anya, Vilashita, Sunya. Everyone is subject to the influence of Maya and entangled in all kinds of material desires, and Maharaj Navi was no exception. Freedom from Maya's influence is possible when one engages in the service of the great devotees, Mahacharana Seva. Without worshipping the lotus feet of the great devotee, one cannot be free from Maya's influence. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Chhatya Visna Vaishnava Seva Nistara Padesha Keva. Who has been freed from Maya's clutches without serving the lotus feet of a Vaishnava? Maya is aparajita and her influence is also aparajita. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Devi Yeshi Gunamani Mama Maya Duratyaya. This given energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. Only a devotee can surpass Maya's great influence. It was no fault of Maharaj Navi's part that he wanted a son. He wanted a son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the best of all sons. By the association of Lord's devotee, one no longer desires material opulence. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.54. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Kaya, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Kaya. And Mahatripa Vena Kona Karmi, Karmi Bhakti Naya, Krishna Bhakti Dure Rahe, Rahu, Samsara Nani Kshaya. If one is serious about escaping Maya's influence and returning home back to Godhead, one must associate with a sadhu, devotee. That is the verdict of all scriptures. By the slight association of a devotee, one can be freed from the clutches of Maya. Without the mercy of the pure devotee, one cannot get freedom from by any means. Certainly, a pure devotee's association is necessary in order to obtain the loving service of the Lord. One cannot be freed from Maya's clutches without sadhu sangha, the benediction of the great devotee. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32, Prahlad Maharaj says, Naisham Mati Stava Guru Kramam Guruhim Sprishtai Anathopagam Mo Yat Artha Mahiyasam Padarajam Abhishekam Nishkinchanam Na Vindadavat. One cannot become the Lord's pure devotee without taking the dust of the great devotee on his head, Padarajam Abhishekam. A pure devotee is Niskinchana. He has no material desire to enjoy the material world. One has to take shelter of such a pure devotee in order to attain his qualities. The pure devotee is always free from the clutches of Maya and her influence.
Vandayam Shri Guru Shri Kapadakam Shri Yom Vaishnavanscha Shrirupam Sadhyatam Sararamatam Vatantam Sashivam Sadhyatam Sadhyatam Parjana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvalalitam Shri Shatayatam Shri E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatate Gopishana Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskate Tatta Kanchana Gauravira Dhevinda Neshwari Ishimbhana Sute Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vanchata Pratavadeshya Kuta Sindhu Deyacha Patitanam Pavanate Vaishnavebhyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Krishna. So beautiful verse and the Bhagavad Gita where Srila Prabhupada is glorifying the devotee, and also the sages here are glorifying the devotees, the association of the devotees. So as we can see, the three sastras which are very important, especially in the Gaudiya Vaishnava, and these three sastras can deliver the entire universe. The first one is Bhagavad Gita, the second one is Srimad Bhagavatam, and the third one is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned that this Bhagavad Gita is the ABCD, Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduation study, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is the post graduation study. So Bhagavad Gita, why is it ABCD? Because it is defining bhakti. What is bhakti? It is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. We see the first part of Bhagavad Gita is speaking about karma. It's speaking how one should act, how one can come from yoga later, is how one can come from attached karma or from a materialistic platform to the nishkam karma platform. So it brings you to that. The last chapter, the last six chapter mainly focus on modes of material nature, and the middle six chapter tells about who Krishna is and how living and living jiva is to surrender to Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita is basically bringing someone to the platform of human platform. So making one a human comes. So it defines what bhakti is. And then Srimad Bhagavatam is registered by, because it explains how to perform bhakti. Bhagavad Gita tells what is bhakti, Srimad Bhagavatam tells us how to perform bhakti by the different examples of devotees. So throughout Bhagavatam we see there are devotees who are performing different kinds of bhakti and pleasing the Lord. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the do's and don'ts. How the bhakti should be performed and how bhakti shouldn't be performed. So here we are seeing one of the examples of devotion. Maharaj Nabi had devotion. It's not that Maharaj Nabi is not a devotee. He is a devotee. But again, in devotee, as Gopananda Swami yesterday explained, how even in devotion there are different platforms. So this is, even though Maharaj Nabi's intention was to serve the Lord, but he is asking for something himself. He is asking the Lord to be his son, which is the best thing one can ask. Prabhupada is also saying, to have a son, Lord as the son is the best son you can have. So his intentions are good, but still it is for sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada and the sages here are mentioning it is on the material platform, because he wants something for himself. So Srimad Bhagavatam tells us how to perform bhakti, what should be done and what shouldn't be done in bhakti. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the topmost scripture, it's the post-graduation study. Yes, Srila Prabhupada is saying, why is it a post-graduation study? Because it teaches the perfection of bhakti. So Bhagavad Gita teaches what is bhakti, Bhagavatam teaches, Srimad Bhagavatam teaches how to perform bhakti, and Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches the perfection of bhakti. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you read, it is the dealings between the devotees, pure devotees only. It is completely pure, dealings between pure devotees. And one of the things which comes up in Chaitanya Charitamrita is association of pure devotees, how one should associate with a pure devotee. So this is what is mentioned. So how do we know? Now this term is, we have heard so many times that we should associate with a pure devotee. So how do we know who is a pure devotee? If we go around in the congregation and ask everyone, are you a pure devotee? How many people will agree, yeah, I am a pure devotee, you can associate with me. Right? So it's not possible for us to just know pure devotee. So we'll spend some time understanding who is a pure devotee. So once one of the reporters asked Srila Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in this world? And Srila Prabhupada told, how many devotees? He just asked one of his disciples sitting next to him, how many devotees are there in this con? So what did Srila Prabhupada mean by that? Srila Prabhupada was saying, anyone who is in this con is a pure. Of course, there are pure devotees in other sampradayas also. But Srila Prabhupada was making this point that every person who is in this con is a pure devotee. So how do we understand who is a pure devotee? So this one thing comes that anyone who is following the orders of the acharyas in the discrete succession, who is following on the path of sadhana bhakti, is a pure devotee. There is a verse in Bhagavatam, which is 2.1.11. Etan nirmite mana icchatam aputopayam yoginam kripa nirmitam harir namam kirtan. So, Sukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj, oh, in constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord, by the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all. So, if one is following Harir Naam Anukirtanam, if one is, that Anukirtanam is very important in that verse. It is mentioned, if one is following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, then it's a doubtless and fearless way of success for all. So, and in that purport, Srila Prabhupada has explained different devotees. So, on the basic platform is the materialistic, who is trying to enjoy material life, and then on the other hand is doing some kind of service. So, he is a materialist who is performing devotional service for some material gain. And then, higher than that is a gnani, transcendentalist, who is performing, who understands that material, fulfilling material desires and engaging in material sense gratification is futile. So one has to give up those things. So he is a gnani. And on, above that is the devotee. Prabhupada explains in that purport that devotee does not desire anything for himself. His only mood is to how he can serve the Lord, how he can satisfy the Lord. And in that process, the Lord might give him opulence and facilities, then he will accept it. Or even if Lord does not give him opulence and facilities, he will still continue in his service. So his entire life is just for the satisfaction of the Lord. So that is one of the definitions for the pure devotee. So one who is following in the footsteps of the acharyas and constantly performing sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Second definition as given in Nectar of Instruction is vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara, pasata vegam, etan vegam, yogishahe tadira, sarvam apima, prithvinsa, shishya. So it is mentioning that if one can control a sober person who can control the urges of the mind, anger, speech, belly, genitals, so all the six Vedas, tongue, belly, genitals, is to be considered a pure devotee. He can initiate, he can have disciples all around the world. So it's interesting, I asked one time one of the Maharaj in our movement. So I asked Maharaj, how is it possible to control the senses? Being a grahastha, we are always having facilities for sense gratification, and how we can control them. And Maharaj told me very nice one, that it's not about grahastha. Even a sannyasi gets all these desires. Even the mind of a sannyasi disturbs him by all these Vedas. But we have learned the art of dovetailing those desires into Krishna's service. So any desire which comes in the material, in the mind, any material desire which comes, one has to dovetail those desires in Krishna consciousness. One has to immediately think how we can serve the Lord, how we can be engaged. And he mentioned that if one is fully engaged, there is no chance of desires to come in the mind. So one has to be fully absorbed. This is what the point Maharaj was making was. So if one is completely engaged in service from morning to night, and then at night he can immediately, as soon as he goes to bed, he is asleep. So this should be the position. One has to be fully engaged. If one is not engaged completely, then there is a chance for Maya to attack. And that is why Srila Prabhupada has given us this process of right from 4:30, or even the Brahmanas who are serving on the altar or doing Shalyam Puja, they are on the altar even before that. But for everyone else, 4:30 to 9:30, we have got the whole program back. And so we can engage in that in different service completely, and then we don't have any free time, and then Maya will not attack. And then the third reference I would like to quote is from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 18, where Srila Rupa Goswami has given us the characteristic of a person who is actually developed aesthetic love of Krishna, who is at the power of reform. And it is mentioned in that Srila Prabhupada comments that there are nine points which Rupa Goswami is giving, nine characteristics Srila Rupa Goswami is giving of a pure devotee. But one may not have all those. One may develop some of them, or one is on the journey, but even then he should be considered as pure devotee. So the first point is mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami is the devotee is always anxious to utilize his time. He does not waste his time. Even a moment he does not waste. And this is exactly what we were speaking about before, as Maharaj was explaining, that one has to be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, and then there is no chance for Maya to attack. And this is exactly what Srila Rupa Goswami is saying, that if one is anxious to utilize his time in devotional service of the Lord, then he does not like to be idle, and he is always serving 24 hours a day. Even while he is sleeping, he is thinking about the pastimes of the Lord. He is meditating on the Lord, or he is meditating on his service. So, one has to be always engaged. This is the most important point. If one is fully utilized, then he is. And these are the nine characteristics which we can see and identify who is a pure devotee. If he is continuously or completely engaged in Krishna's service, he is not wasting any moment. The second one is, he is always reserved and perseverant. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the example of Maharaj Parikshit. He had last 7 days, he came to know that he only has got 7 days to leave. What did he do in those 7 days? He completely gave up everything that was not required. For the last 7 days, he was constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So he did not waste a moment in any other activities. He was persevering, he was continuously asking questions to Sukadeva Goswami. And he went to all the sages and begged for their mercy. So this is the mode of a devotee: is reserved and he is perseverant. The third quality of a pure devotee is always detached from all material attraction. And this is important. Like, one may be given facilities, one may be living in opulence, or one may be living in poverty. But the whole point is, one should not be attached. One should not be attracted to the material facilities. He should be detached from all the material facilities. And the example given of Maharaj Bharat. Bharat Maharaj was in opulence. He had children, wife, he had a kingdom, the whole universe was under him. So he was in opulence, and it is mentioned even the devtas, all the demigods, were envious of the kingdom of Maharaj Bharat. He had that much of opulence. But he considered all of those things as stool. And at one point he just left, as if one becomes detached. One becomes detached to the stool. He became detached at one point. So this is one of the examples given in how to become, even in opulence, one can remain. He is a pure devotee. The fourth point Srila Rupa Goswami mentioned is, he does not long for any material respect in return for his activities. And this is very important to become prideless. Because as soon as one gets power, as soon as one gets a status, first quality which comes in the heart is pride. One becomes proud of his achievements. And if one is prideless, and the pure devotee is prideless, and the example is given of Maharaj Bhagirath. Bhagirath Maharaj is mentioned that he was a, again he was like Bharat Maharaj, he was full of opulence, he was the ruler of the planet. But again, even in Vaj, he was a ruler, he used to go and beg for food. And it is said that he used to go and beg to the houses of his opposite parties, of his enemies. So that kind of humility he had. So this example is given for pridelessness. And then fifth point Rupa Goswami is giving is, he is always certain that Krishna will bestow this mercy upon him. So he is hopeful. He is always hopeful. I remember a few days ago, Jayasachi Prabhu gave a class and he mentioned that he was quoting Prabhupada Prabhu and how Prabhupada Prabhu says that he is definitely going back home, back to Godhead in this life, after this lifetime. So this is the mood of a devotee. He has complete faith on Lord. Not that out of pride, but out of humility. So, as Prabhupada was mentioning, he is always certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy. Because the devotee is constantly engaged in serving the Lord. He has got faith that Lord will reciprocate. And there is another example in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Mahaprabhu was giving in the Mahaprakash Lila, he was calling out all the devotees and he did not call out for Mukunda. And when the devotees asked, when will Mukunda be liberated, when will he go back to Godhead? And Mahaprabhu said, because he is associating with the Mayavadis, other non-devotees, he will go back in 1 million lifetimes, telling that he will go back in 1 million lifetimes. And when Mukunda heard that, he became joyous, he started in ecstasy, he started to dance. He said, in 1 million lifetime, I'll be seeing Mahaprabhu again. So there is a mood of a devotee. A devotee does not mind whether he is put into trouble or is. And there is another example. Lord Shiva mentions to Parvati, and you know the verse, how does it start? Aham Bhakta Parahama. No, that is Lord Vishnu mentions to Guru Vasavani. Aham Bhakta Parahama, yes, of Nantar, Eva Jaja, Sadhu Kastari, Dev Bhakta Bhakta Janate. So Lord Vishnu is mentioning to Guru Vasavani that I am completely dependent on a devotee, I am not at all independent. And what to speak of my devotee, those who are devotees of my devotee, I am dependent on them, I desire this in their heart. So, but there was another verse I was thinking of, Lord Shiva mentions Parvati in the Chitraketu pastime.
Narayana.
That's right. Narayana para sarve na putasthana vibhyati. Narayana para sarve na putasthana vibhyati. Swarga abhavarga narkeshwa api tulyata darshana. So the devotee. So, when Parvati cursed Maharaj Chitraketu to go to the demonic bodies, Maharaj Chitraketu very humbly came down from his plane and offered obeisances and begged for forgiveness to Maharaj Parvati for offending. But he did not have that mood, but he still accepted the curse. And at that time, Lord Shiva tells, look at the devotees of Lord Narayana, that they are completely equal. Narayana Parasarve, they are the best of all. Nakutasana, and they are fearless. Nakutasana Vimyati, whether they are in Swarga, Avarga, or Narka, Narkeshwara, Api Tulyata Darshana, they are completely balanced, even in any situation which they are put in. So, this is the quality of a devotee. They have got. They are certain that Krishna will always bestow their mercy. The sixth one is, he is always very eager to serve the Lord faithfully. So any opportunity for service arises, the devotee is always eager, of course, in balance, but still he is always eager to serve the Lord faithfully. The seventh one is very much attached to chanting the holy names of the Lord. So a devotee is always chanting the holy names of the Lord in whatever service he is doing and whatever condition he is in. But he is always, this is one thing which is, he always loves to do. He's always chanting the, attached to chanting Yeswara Rati, to chant the holy names of the Lord. So one can understand that that kind of a devotee is pure. Eighth one is, he is always eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So whomever he meets, Yara Devataraka Krishna, who plays, whomever he meets, is always speaking about the glories of the Lord. And ninth one is, he is very pleased to live in the place where Lord's pastimes are performed. Example, Mathura, Vrindavan and Dwarka. So devotee likes to visit the holy places where Lord has performed his pastime and is attached to those holy dhams. Even though he is not physically there, mentally he is always visiting the holy places. So these are the nine qualities the Goswami is explaining in Nectar of Devotion, which are of pure devotee. So we can understand by this all references who is a pure devotee. But in Madhurya Gadambini, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentioned that pure devotion is not to be achieved, but it is something to be practiced, and which is a very important point. It's not a platform where today I am not a pure devotee, but if I do this things, tomorrow I will be a pure devotee. So it is not something, the destination, it's not a upadhi to be achieved, that I want to become a pure devotee. But it is to be practiced. And what does that mean? Srila Prabhupada, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, everyone in ISKCON is a pure devotee. Not everyone was the prema bhakta, on the prema or bhava platform, but still Srila Prabhupada considered them as pure devotees, because they were all practicing pure devotional service. So this is important that we should understand, that it's not a platform to be achieved, it is something to be practiced. And the example, another example is given is that all fruits on the mango tree are mangoes, whether they are green or yellow. So each fruit on the mango tree, even if it is green, it has got its use. You can make pickle out of it, right? Or if it is yellow, it is still sweet and ripened and it's enjoyable, it's tasty. So, and as long as that fruit is on the mango tree, connected to the mango tree, that green will turn into yellow. So this is a very important example where if one is connected to the sampradaya, if one is connected to the parampara, if one is connected to the spiritual master and the parampara, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, he is considered to be a pure devotee. Because it is just a time factor where he will become a pure devotee. So another example is given that platinum is more expensive than gold. That does not mean we throw away the gold. People don't throw away the gold just because it is less expensive than platinum. Because even, and people wear gold ornaments, not platinum ornaments. So each metal or each element has got its value. So this is talking about pure devotee. So now the question arises, as it is mentioned in this verse and purport, how to associate with a pure devotee. So there is a nice story I heard where there was a monastery in one of the remote places, and in that monastery there were four devotees or four monks. And these four monks used to run this monastery, but nobody used to come to that monastery. So these four monks decided, why don't we go and speak to bishop? So the bishop will be able to guide us how we can run the monastery in a better way, so that more devotees come, the monastery flourishes, and more people can come and take advantage because it's such a place of pilgrimage, but nobody is coming. So they went to Bishop and they told, narrated the whole atmosphere and everything. And Bishop told them that one of you is a pure devotee. And by that he left. So these four monks were thinking, this Bishop was just told this, he never told how to run the monastery, how to make it so more attractive so that people can come and visit. So they said, okay. But anyways, when they went back, something changed. Because now each one of them was thinking, I am envious towards all this. I am always inimical. So I am not a pure devotee. But one of these three are pure devotees. So he started giving respect to all the other three. And that everyone was thinking the same. So by that what happened? Each one was thinking, I don't want to offend any three of them because one of them is a pure devotee. And if I offend them, then I'll go to hell. So I should give respect, and they all were living very harmoniously and they were loving me. So one time a visitor came to this monastery by chance. He was just traveling, passing by, and saw the monastery, and he came in the monastery. And he saw that these four monks were living so lovingly, and he was attracted to this. And he went and told others, like, there is a beautiful place, there is this people who are so loving and they have respect for each other. And by that word of mouth, everyone started coming to the monastery, and the monastery started to flourish. So the example given here is interesting, because what changed the place? Because these four monks, because they were always seeing each other, they were always quarreling among each other. And that is why, even though by chance anyone used to come, they used to be just taken aback, thinking, what is this place? They are all, people are fighting here. I don't want to be in such a place. People can feel the vibration of a place. So nobody used to come to the monastery. But as soon as these four monks started living harmoniously and lovingly and respectfully towards each other, the monastery flourished and more devotees started to come to this monastery. So, as Mahaprabhu is going to Trinada, we Sunichena Tarorati, Saitana Mamina Manadena Kirtana Sada Hari. So even though we don't see everyone as pure devotee, or everyone is not on the level of pure devotion, but we should always see each and every devotee as pure devotee. So this is one of the very important points, how to associate with you, how to identify the pure devotees. But again, it is mentioned that, as it is mentioned in this in the Bhagavad, only by the association of the pure devotion one can be free from Maya and attain bhakti. So these are the two points one has to perform devotional service. One has to be free from Maya and have attained bhakti. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, again Madhura Dalamani, first explains what is bhakti, what is the nature of bhakti. And he says in that, bhakti is independent. Savitamsa paro dharmo yato bhakti adho sajde ahituki yata piyata jiyatma suprasudati. So that ahituki, what does ahituki mean? The nature of bhakti is causeless. It's ahituki. There is no cause to bhakti. It's completely independent, like Krishna. Krishna is completely independent. He is not dependent on anyone. So bhakti is also causeless. And in 11th canto in Uddhava Gita, Krishna tells Uddhava that yanna yogena sankhena dana krita vrata tapo adhavrane vyakya swadhyaya sanyasaya prapuna yatnavan api. And he is saying that even though one engages in great endeavor in mystic yoga or philosophical speculation, he is a jnani, performs a lot of charity or performs vows of penances, performs all the yajnas, ritualistic sacrifices, and chants all the Vedic mantras, and personally studies the Vedas, or is in the renounced order of life, still he cannot achieve me. So Krishna cannot be achieved by all of those things. So the point here is mentioned that Jnana and Vairagya cannot produce bhakti. And another point Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions is bhakti cannot be produced, is not also dependent on purity or faith. So if one is just pure, doesn't mean he means having devotion in his heart. Or one has got full faith, does not mean he is having devotion. An example he gives is of Ajamil. Ajamil chanted the holy names of the Lord and got perfection, but he had no purity and no faith in the Lord. And so again, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has mentioned that bhakti is not dependent on purity and faith also. So how can one get bhakti? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur further mentioned that it is only by the mercy of the Lord and His devotees one can get bhakti. Bhaktya abhijayate bhakti. So only by the mercy of the Lord and His devotees one can attain bhakti. And in Nectar of Devotion chapter 17 it is explained there are two ways to attain bhava. The first one is constant association of pure devotees. Especially people who are living in ashram, they have got the best opportunity because they are constantly associating with the Lord and His devotees. So, Nectar of Devotion mentions that two ways one can get bhakti or come to the platform of bhava is constant association of devotees, pure devotees. And the second one is special mercy of Krishna and His pure devotees, which is causeless mercy of Krishna and devotees. And in the first one, constant association of devotees, the example is given of Narada Muni. So Narada Muni, when he was a child, he was constantly associating with the same sages who came for Chaturmas, who spent Chaturmas at his place. And he was taking them, and since morning he was hearing from them, he was serving them, he was taking their remnants. And by that association, Narada Muni mentioned that he became pure and got became detached. So, example of Narada Muni is given, and also that the second example is given of Kapil Muni speaking to Devaki, the third canto, 25th chapter, 25th verse, it is mentioned that Kapil Muni mentions that, my dear mother, when a person is actually in the association of the pure devotees, the sublime potency of my devotional service can be experienced. So when one is in the association of pure devotee, he completely experiences the sublime nature of the Lord. In other words, when pure devotee speaks, his words act upon the heart of the audience. So Prabhupada is commenting on that in the Bhagavad, saying that when pure devotee speaks, his words act on the hearts of the audience. When a realized soul who is engaged in the service of the Lord is speaking, he has the potency to inject spiritual life within the audience. One should therefore seek the association of such pure unalloyed devotees. And by such association and service, a newfound devotee will certainly develop attachment, love and devotion for the Supreme Personality of God. So, Kapil Muni is also saying the same point, that just by hearing from the pure devotees, one gets the devotion transfers from the heart of a speaker to the audience. And the second, in the second category, special mercy of Krishna and His devotees is mentioned. Nectar of Devotion mentions that there are three ways one can acquire pure devotion. That is simply by speaking, simply by glorifying, and simply by good wishes. So when a devotee of Krishna just speaks, so when a devotee hears, he gets pure bhakti, causes without any reason, or simply by glancing. When a devotee or Krishna looks at the devotee person, he gets pure bhakti, and simply by the good wishes. If a pure devotee wishes good for someone, automatically he becomes a pure devotee. An example there is given of Prahlad Maharaj. How Prahlad Maharaj, in the womb, because of the association of Narada Muni, became pure. So, just by the association, because Narada Muni was Indra wanted to kill Prahlad Maharaj actually in the womb of Ayodhya. But Narayana said, no way, he is not even born. So one who is not born often say that he is good or bad. But Indra said, no, he is a son of Hiranyakashipu. He will become like Hiranyakashipu. But Narayana said, no, you cannot do that. A person who is not born, you cannot kill. And just by the good gesture, and Narayana kept Ayodhya with her. With him. So, and preached, and he was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Kayadhu. And by that association, by the good wishes of Narad Muni, Prahlad Maharaj, within the womb itself, became pure. So these are the two ways one can become pure, by the constant association of pure devotees, or by the mercy of Krishna and devotees. So there is another story which comes in the Purana, that there was once a Brahmana, Vigata Brahmana. Vigata Brahmana means he was very proficient in the Vedas. So this Brahmana was very intelligent and very proficient in Vedas, but he was very greedy. So he used to go to anyone's place and used to eat like anything that was not offered, even not offered to the Lord. So he was greedy in that sense. So once this Brahmana went to one of the houses and he ate opulent prasad, which was offered not to the Lord but to the ghosts. So when this Brahmana ate the ghost prasad, at the end of his life, this Brahmana and all his associates went to Yamraj. And Yamraj said, because you have eaten prasad offered to the ghosts, you will go to the ghostly planet, or you will go to Pitraloka where the ghosts live. So, this Brahmana said, okay, we have committed this offense because we understood that he was greedy and he committed this offense. But how can we get out of the offense? And Yamraj said, only by the mercy of some Vaishnava, you will be able to go back into your original position, or you will be able to come out of this ghostly body. So, by that, all these Brahmanas were sent to the desert where there was no one around. And they became ghosts there. So they stayed there for a long time, and by their good fortune, once a Vaishnava devotee was passing by. And when he was passing by, they could immediately understand that this is a Vaishnava because of his attire, the tilak and kantimala and the ghostly attire. They could understand this was a Vaishnava. So that in the middle of the desert, one of the ghosts manifested himself as a tree, green, lush tree. So this Vaishnava devotee thought, oh, this tree in the middle of a desert, it looks so nice, let me rest for a while. So he came and sat below this tree. And second Brahmana, ghost Brahmana, came and asked, how can I serve you? I'm eager to serve you. And the Vaishnava thought, okay, in the middle of the desert, if I can get something to eat or drink. So he immediately went and got some water. The third ghost went and got some fruits. So they all started serving the Vaishnava like this. So as soon as the Vaishnava got all the water and fruits and vegetables, he offered them to his deity, Vishnu, and then performed kirtan and then honored the prasad. And the remnants of this Vaishnava, all these ghosts had. And as soon as they had the remnants of this Vaishnava, they all became converted themselves into the demigod bodies. And this Vaishnava was amazed to see this transformation. Like right now they were looking like normal human beings, but now they are looking like demigods. And then the Brahmanas explained their pastime, how they honored the ghostly prasad and came to this ghost yoni. And then by the association of this Vaishnava, by honoring this prasad, Vaishnava's remnants, they regained the body of demigods and they could go back home, went back to Swarjaloka. So this pastime comes in Puranas, saying how by that association Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra, Lava Mantra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhiva. As it is mentioned in this purport. So the point is, and there are many points which can discuss on this topic of Sadhu Sangha. But the limitation of time. So I'll stop here if there are any questions or comments.
attachment. You mentioned about detachment as a part of the qualities of a pure devotee. And also you said that detachment is manifested when the devotee sees everything as a...
In relation to the law.
Yeah, it's to the law, so something like that. So my question is that the only way how can be expressed? Because to my understanding it's like another extreme of sins, because it can be for my enjoyment or detachment, rejecting.
So yeah, so
maybe one middle part, like learning to see that belongs to the Lord, perhaps?
Right, so this is the mode of devotee. So even though Bharat Maharaj was looking everything as stool and detached, does not mean he was not doing his responsibilities. So the point is, and Srila Prabhupada has mentioned how he saw that photograph of a yogi saying, no wealth. And Prabhupada said, take my photograph, saying that I welcome all the wealth. And Prabhupada said, if you give me $1,000,000 in the morning, by evening I'll spend it in Krishna's service. So this is a mode of a devotee. He does not, because he sees Lakshmi as the consort of the Lord, does not see Lakshmi as Maya. So that is the principle of Yukta Vairagya. So the principle of Yukta Vairagya is engaging everything in the service of the Lord. And that is Uttama Bhakti.
And I was also seeing that point connected to the aspect of if we learn to, because it's a gradual process, that we have to learn to see that belong to the Lord. And then automatically that will help us to develop respect and also to use it properly. The appropriate use of those energies and also respect. Yes. And that I was trying to see in connection with what you mentioned about the interaction among pure devotees. We should learn to see each different devotees as a pure devotee, so that also expresses an expression of respect,
true,
care. So I was trying to connect that
detachment, yes,
and the learning aspect of interaction among devotees.
Yeah, definitely. So. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions there has to be some kind of discrimination, but at the same time, you have got this principle of Tanada Vishnu Janatara Visayasana, Aman, Aman, Dina. So you have to give respect to each and everyone, not expect respect for yourself. So that Aman, Aman, Dina principle is very important. So it's not that you look at someone and say, oh, he has got this car, so he is materialistic, or he has got this big house, so he's a materialistic person, or he is living in a poverty, so he is advanced. So it's not the externals which make one advance or fall. So, but the point here is mentioned that one should, and I couldn't finish many of the points that we have mentioned. I've taken from Madhurika Mundi by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he is mentioning that one should always associate with equals and take shelter of more advanced devotees than himself. So this is very important, that in the process of sadhana bhakti, one should associate with equals, because equals will tell you what you need to do. You can always associate, but one should always be under the shelter of advanced devotees. So even in the congregation, we know there are devotees who are more advanced than us, and not one of the men, right? So you can always take their guidance. You can choose one or two and always take their guidance and always speak to them about your problems. And you can take their guidance because they will point out some things which we cannot see in ourselves. So it is important that we always associate with equals and take guidance from more advanced association is equal. Because unless you take advanced association, you cannot progress. It is important. It's easy to associate with equal or below you. Because the people who are below you will always glorify you. So it's easy to to take their association because it feeds your false ego.
Mm-hmm.
It gives. But when you associate with equal or advanced devotees, then they will point out your faults, and that is healthy bhakti. I think Chandra mentions this, that one who is criticizing you, always keep them by your side. Because as soon as you commit a mistake, they will point out your fault. So they are your real friends who point out faults in you. So keep them by your side always. Then you will never fall.
Prabhu, I have a question regarding the Vajrayogam section. So, for example, austerity of the mind and austerity of the speech. One has to always think of Krishna, and then austerity of speech means always speak about Krishna. My question
is, not always speak about Krishna. It is also to control the urges of speech. Some people like to speak. So, when you like to speak and you don't have any substance within you, then you will speak nonsense. So, it's better not to speak than to speak something mundane. So, there are two points. Urges, control the urges of speech, always speak about Krishna. But if you cannot always speak about Krishna, then better not speak. Because otherwise you will speak something nonsense. Yes.
Sorry. That's okay, that's good. I was thinking about the other desires in the mind, the other pushings of the mind, and also other pushings of the speaking sense, that you want to speak, for example, to say blatantly, one wants to speak for Jalpa. So what happens, like at some point in doing sadhana, one may face that, okay, how much can I do this, like 24 hours a day, how much can I think of this section? What about all the other desires that are pushing me to do all the other things? So, how does one go from there to...
Right. So, again, coming back to Madhura Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, like, in the process, first of all, it begins from Shraddha, right? And we know Shraddha comes from Agyat Sukriti, association of the devotee and mercy of the devotee. Agyat Sukriti, we develop some Shraddha. But then, when we have started the process of bhajan kriya or associating with the devotees, that shraddha has to become firm in sastra. So when we are development, now this is advancement in bhakti, we are not talking about a person just entering the temple and associating with the devotees. As devotees, what we need to do to progress our bhakti to the next level, we are already performing sarvaini sarana bhakti. Right? Now to take it to the next level, the first thing we have to do is develop our Shraddha more in the Sastra. So we need to associate more with the Sastras. So this is the first point. And then it is mentioned that follow the injunctions of the Sastra, either naturally or by force. So if we are not able to accept what is mentioned in the Sastra, like nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion, there are many points like mentioned. If you are not able to follow naturally, because some people are naturally Brahmanas, by nature they are Brahmanical or mode of goodness. But if we are not able to do that, we are in passion and ignorance where the mind is troubling us, then you have to little bit put a force. If you cannot do that, then take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So that is the first step. And then this mention, inquire from spiritual master humbly. Serve the spiritual master. Serve the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and then follow the instruction of the spiritual master. Because spiritual master is like a doctor. When you go to the doctor, it's not that he has got one box where he put out the pill, okay, take this and you will be cured. No, he will diagnose you. He'll understand what the symptoms are of your disease. He'll diagnose you, he will find out with the reports and everything, and then he will give you medication. The spiritual master is like that. He is a personalized doctor in bhakti, in devotional service. So he diagnoses you, and that is why it's not only one spiritual master, it is mentioned. It is, and that point comes there. That is why you have to associate with people and seek more advanced association, because your initiating guru may not be present or sometimes may not know you personally so well. So you leave a senior association of devotees within your congregation who know you well. So that point comes there, but that you associate with more advanced devotees and take shelter of them. And then, this mentioned, you practice bhajana kriya. So chanting the process of vajrasana, you practice. At that point, there are two kinds of bhajana kriya, unsthiti and anisthitika and nisthika. So unsthiti and sthiti bhajana kriya is practiced. So in that reason, why are we practicing? And that is the point which you are mentioning. We are practicing bhajana kriya. We know this is how to practice, but we are not steady in our practice. So, 6 points are given. Why are we not steady in our practice? The first one is given as utsahamai, immature enthusiasm. When we come to the temple, we are so enthusiastic that let me do the entire, I will control the whole temple, I will do service for everyone. Utsahamai. But then what happens? Because it's an immature enthusiasm, it fades away. And why does it fade away? Not because you have lost our stamina. Because what has happened? When we started doing so many services, people started glorifying us. Or this person is serving so, he's doing so much of service, or decorating so nicely, or doing so nicely, right? Making such nice garlands, or doing this cooking so nicely. What happens then? You're cooking every day, you're puffed up. All day of the week I am cooking, right? And people are glorifying, oh, he does so much of service and he does it so nicely. Puffed up, one becomes puffed up. And that's utsahamani. And that is anisthira. And that is the cause of, then stops the, puts a hurdle in our bhakti. Second one, I won't go into detail of it because, so second one is ghanatarala. Ghanatarala means sporadic endeavor. Does not have taste, but it puts in, because taral, it goes along the ways. Everyone is doing it, so I'll also do it. So that's ghanatarala. And that is also anisthika. That is why he's not fixed in his service. Then, indecision, vyudha vikalpa. Sometimes he thinks, I should be doing this. And sometimes, no, I was better than now in my material life. Let me have a family. Let me have enjoy my family life. There has to be a balance between spiritual life and material life. I shouldn't be doing just spiritual life. So this is the vikalpas which come. Let me do this now, and when probably in 5 years time I'll come back. So should I renounce or maybe later? So that is with the view of vikalpa, and that is also cause of anistha. Then, Vishaya Sanghara, struggling with the mind and Maya, struggling with Maya. So, gives up and engages in sense gratification. So, sometimes there is a desire to eat something, so let me eat this. Or sometimes there is a desire to see something, let me see. One time if I see, once a week, it's not going to harm anything. So, that is engaging in sense gratification from time to time. And then there is niyama shama. Niyama shama is inability to uphold the vows. Okay, I'm going to chant 69, but sometimes it's okay. I'm not able to do it. I was doing too much of service today, so let me not do my rounds today. Or I'm doing this then. So it's not nishtha, nishtika. So inability to keep the vows. And the last one is taranga rangini is enjoying the waves, as it is mentioned in the Prabhupada makes this point actually. Course Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is making this point that enjoying the waves. So, one of the cause of bhakti, as I mentioned before, was one gets pratishtha, one gets recognition, and one tries to make money out of it, some material gain out of it, or worship or position. And because of that, he cannot remain steady in this. So, these are all the points Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives it. Madhura Kadambini, how one cannot remain fixed in his service. But again, he gives how to overcome that anathas, then ruchi, nishtha, asakti, bhava. How can it not? So, sorry for long but answer. But yeah, these are the reasons of our anistha. We are not on the anistha platform because anarthas are troubling us, and we are not so fixed in our sadhana. So the whole point is in this section that we can see is association with the devotee is very important. The more we associate with an advanced devotees. So if we associate more with the advanced, the more advanced devotees are, the more rapidly we progress in bhakti. The more we will develop the taste in bhakti. Any other comments? Okay, then. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth ki jai, Bhagavatam ki jai.